following is a recording from Maria Verona from iAdvise on Wednesday, October 28, 2015 at 10 a.m. Central. Pentera, third quarter 2015. Good morning. My name is Josh, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Pentera Earnings Conference Call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After this presentation, we will open a question and answer session. Instructions on how to ask a question will be given at that time. Thank you for your attention. I would now like to turn the call over to Enrique Barrera, Investor Relations for Pentera. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you all for joining us and for your continued interest in Pentera. I'm Enrique Barrera Flores, the company's Investor Relations Officer. I'm very pleased to introduce our management team. With us today is Mr. Carlos Danel, Chairman of the Board, Mr. Enrique Mayor, Compartamos Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Patricio Diez de Bonilla, Chief Financial Officer. They will review the results of Pentera, as well as the various operation and newsworthy items for each of the subsidiaries for the third quarter period, after the report that was issued yesterday. If you didn't receive a copy of the release, or if you have any questions, please do not hesitate to contact our Investor Relations Department in Mexico City. If you are a member of the media, we ask you to contact us directly. Please note that during this presentation, Pentera may make forward-looking statements. These do not account for future economic circumstances, industry conditions, company performance, or financial results. Additional information on forward-looking statements can be found in the disclaimer located in our earnings release. I would now like to turn the call over to Mr. Carlos Danel for his presentation. Carlos, please go ahead.
Thank you, Enrique. Good morning to everyone. I have to start today's conference call by sharing with you this quarter, which is a very special time for Pentera. 25 years ago, Compartamos disbursed its first loan in Oaxaca to a group of self-employed micro-entrepreneurs. Back then, we had a clear idea of our sense of purpose, to eradicate financial exclusion. What we didn't know back then was how much we were going to achieve in the following 25 years. What started out as a dream has become a world-class group of companies in three countries, serving over 3 million households through more than 720 branches and 20,000 people in staff. 3 million clients materialized our dream of offering financial inclusion products to underserved clients while creating social, economic, and human value. These are 3 million stories, 3 million dreams, 3 million commitments for a better future for more than 15 million people in Mexico, Guatemala, and Peru. We are proud of serving them, as they are the reason that we exist. We could never achieve this without the shared commitment and effort of our more than 20,000 staff members. It is their day-to-day work which enables our dreams. It is their love for what we do and the passion that they demonstrate that we have built an extraordinary place to work, a place where we can serve, and at the same time, a place where we can become better human beings. We're proud of what we've achieved in these first 25 years. It is beyond our wildest dreams. But what makes us even prouder is the fact that we have been able to help build an industry that looks at the base of the pyramid clients not as a problem to be solved, but as people worth serving. Today, our clients not only have access to quality financial services, they have choices of whom they bank with. And increasingly, private sector companies and civil society find innovative ways of serving their needs, like healthcare, education, housing, telecommunications, and even entertainment. We believe that a more inclusive world is a better world, and we're happy to be part of this story. So it is only fitting that we should end these first 25 years with results like the ones we were able to achieve in the third quarter of 2015. Our portfolio for this quarter stood at 27.5 billion pesos. That's a 17.6% year increase, squarely in line with our guided expectations. This quarter also witnessed renewed growth in our client base, which for the quarter alone grew around 4% and took us over the 3 million client mark to a total of 3,123,000 clients in our three operations. Specifically in Peru, 41% of our clients are not group clients. and of those, 50% are completely new entrants to the financial services market, which is precisely what we aim in our goal of financial inclusion. While growth has been picking up, NPLs have mostly remained stable at 2.96%, a slight decrease from 3.04% experienced last quarter. Specifically for Guatemala, our efforts to strengthen asset quality have paid off. NPLs are down to 1.45% from 7% a year ago. Product-wise, group lending has picked up its growth rate, but it is individual lending that, as expected, has significantly picked up its pace, growing its portfolio to 25% on a year-to-year basis. Regarding insurance products through Aterna, we're now serving clients in the three countries that we work, and product acceptance rates at our all-time high with more than 4 million individual policies outstanding. As anticipated, efficiency for the quarter improved from the first two quarters of 2015 by the evolution of our client loyalty program and the expense related to them. Efficiency rate in Gentera stayed in our guided mid-60s, even while this quarter we fully integrated the branch network and cost of Intermex, a remittance payments business, and even while Yastax grew to 260,000 financial transactions per month as of this quarter. This increased efficiency enabled Gentera to deliver a net income for the quarter of 882 million pesos. That is a 28.9% increase compared with the recurrent net income achieved in the third quarter of 2014. An excellent way to end the first 25 years, no doubt. But even if these 25 years bring us closer to our purpose, we're mindful of the work that still lies ahead. The next 25 years in Gentera's history will be as challenging and as exciting as the first 25. As we envision the future, we know we need to increase our efforts to work in three specific things. First, we need to continue to grow. We want to aspire to serve 10 million clients in the next 10 years. Providing access to more households and to a more complete set of products is our goal for creating more social value. We need to fully become a multi-product and multi-country company to be able to serve them. Secondly, we want to evolve into a multi-product strategy to better place the client at the center of all our efforts. Acknowledging that our clients need to evolve and that their life cycles require more than financial products, they require financial solutions to their needs. Our channels, our brands, and our people place us today at the leading edge of offering such solutions in their lives. And thirdly, we need to enable our clients to enter the digital age. In an increasingly digitized world, the way we offer our services has to evolve to leverage emerging technologies in a way that we are able to reach farther into the market and with increasing efficiency and efficacy. The digital revolution is the greatest opportunity we have faced so far to be able to connect faster, cheaper, and closer to every household. This will require innovation, reinvention, and risk. But it is only through embracing this new reality that we will grow closer to serving our sense of purpose. So it is this quarter that marks the end of our first 25 years. We stand proud of what we've achieved and challenged for what is to come. I cannot end my remarks without expressing my deepest gratitude to all the people that have made this possible. This dream is a byproduct of the dreams, efforts, and commitments of millions of individuals. First of all, the millions of clients that we have been honored to serve so far. It is their dreams that we assist to realize. Secondly, to our staff who make this all possible. And last but not least, to all the people that have believed in us. Specifically, to all of our investors who have taken and continue to take a risk they deeply believe is worth taking. They have enabled us to exist by sharing our idea that private, publicly held companies can be instrumental in helping solve social problems with business solutions. We are grateful for your trust, and we stand committed to continue for the next 25 years to build the common dream, to eradicate financial exclusion. Thank you, and I will now turn the call over to Enrique Mayos, who will review in detail the performance of our financial services operations.
Thank you, Carlos. Hello, everyone.
We are pleased to have you here again in our third quarter results report. We are glad to communicate that our third quarter results are in line with our expectations, as well as with what we have been anticipating in our previous reports and guidance for the year. And before getting into statistics, I would like to remember that in our business, we constantly move to a path of growing and controlling cycles. We have been talking about this for several conferences. In previous reports, and for several of our business segments, we have been describing strategies that had to do more with some controlling measures, and some others were part of a growing period. During this third quarter, and as expected, we can observe business dynamics that are more likely to describe a growing phase. In addition to this, we have the fact that the last two quarters of every year are typically stronger in terms of the growth of our portfolio. This can be explained since the dynamic of the businesses of our customers is more active in this season of the year. Now, getting into some specifics, and as Carlos has already pointed out, we are very proud to report that during this quarter, Gentera accomplished another milestone, our first 3 million customers. This milestone is especially important for us since it is another step towards our purpose, generating social value by reaching the maximum number of unbanked people as fast as possible, in addition to the generation of economic and human value. Gentera's loan portfolio reaches 27.5 billion pesos, a 17.6% increase compared with the third quarter 2014, pretty much as expected and anticipated in our guidance. If we take a look at this growth per subsidiary, the Mexican operation, Banco Compartamos, reached a loan portfolio growth of 16% increase versus the same quarter of the previous year. Compartamos Financiera in Peru reached over 20% portfolio increase, and Compartamos Guatemala grew 76% compared with the third quarter 2014. As we have been reporting during the year, NPLs are in good shape. We feel comfortable with the quality of our portfolio since it provides proper conditions to grow as we expect for the rest of the year. Global NPLs continue to improve compared with the previous quarters of the present year. Total NPL for Gentera reached 2.96% in this quarter compared with a 2.87% on a year ago. In Mexico, NPLs dropped down to 2.36% from a 2.45% in the previous quarter and 3.11% in the first quarter of the present year. Meanwhile, in Peru, NPLs registered a slight increase to reach 6% in this quarter from a 5.6% at the end of the previous quarter. This increase was expected since we are making strategic changes in our sales force team. Despite this, we already have improvements on the NPLs for Peru during September, not only in the early days past due indicators, but also in the loan vintages analysis. NPLs ratio for Guatemala has outstanding results, 1.45% in this quarter compared with the 6.98% we had 12 months ago. Guatemala is now experiencing a healthy portfolio growth trend. Total customer retention rate continues with really good numbers. We have a global 85% retention rate, while Crédito Mujer, our main product, has an impressive 88% customer retention rate. Let me also tell you about Intermex, our remittances company recently integrated to our group. As we have mentioned before, Intermex has close to 5% of the total remittances market in Mexico. During this third quarter, Intermex executed more than 1 million transactions, representing over 4.4 billion pesos.
And as you can see from this figure, there is a quite significant amount of potential for this business. Lastly, in other relevant news, we continue to make progress in our savings project in Mexico. As we have stated before, in order to be able to offer a complete set of products and services around savings, it is necessary to place a whole ecosystem anchored by a competitive product, access to convenient locations, and payment tools. The progress we have been witnessing in Puebla and Veracruz is showing very good initial results, and by now we have reached 190,000 saving accounts. As you can see, our third quarter confirms our expectations for the present year, and we feel confident that the fourth quarter will provide us the results defined in our guidance for the year. Thank you all for your attention, and Patricio now will give us the financial information for this quarter.
Thank you, Enrique. I will now review Gentera's financials before we move to the Q&A session. Moving on to the financials, let me start with the lines of the income statement. Interest income for the third quarter of 2015 reached 4.5 billion pesos, a 21% increase compared with the third quarter of 2014. This growth can be explained by two factors. First, Crédito Comerciante is one of the fastest growing products in portfolio and has a higher pricing structure due to its own characteristics. Secondly, during third quarter, the loyalty program, which is expressed as a deduction of the interest income line, represented only an impact of 20.4 million pesos of interest. Mexico still represents approximately 90% of these line items. Interest expense increased by 33 million pesos, or 16.3% compared with the third quarter of 2014. This was a moderate increase considering the 19.5% increase in the liabilities used to finance the portfolio. As such, NIM for the third quarter reached 58%, above the 54% reported in the third quarter of the previous year. Worth noting is the cost of funds that we have achieved in our Mexican subsidiary, Banco Compartamos, is now moving around 3.9%. Also, during this quarter, we issued a new long-term bond for a turnover of 5 years and 2 billion pesos in size. The cost of this bond came at the price of TF plus 50 basis points, and the proceeds of that bond were used to refinance a previous bond with a TF plus 130 basis points of cost. With these refinancing efforts, we believe that we can still maintain a low cost of funds in 2016. It's important to mention also that yesterday we were able to issue debt in the Peruvian market, and this was the first step towards a more diversified liability portfolio and with a much better cost of funds in the Peruvian subsidiary. Provision for loan losses reached 537 million pesos, which was 14.7% higher compared with the third quarter of 2014. This growth is below portfolio growth, which reinforces the stability of the NPL during the period. NIM after provision rose to 3.7 billion pesos, a 22.1% increase compared with the 3 billion pesos in the third quarter of last year. As a consequence, NIM after provision was 51% compared with the 47% in the third quarter of 2014. Moving on to the commission and fee income, which rose by 41% to 3,018,000 pesos compared with the third quarter of 2014. This growth can be explained by the incorporation of the Intermex numbers in the financial. Intermex generated 38 million pesos in fees that were not present in the third quarter of the previous year. In addition, this line item also grew by the late payment fees charged to clients with delinquent loans and Banco Compartamos, and also importantly by the fees and the effect that the insurance products have with Banco Compartamos customers. Also, fees generated by Yastat and Compartamos Financiera are reported in this line item. Commissions and fee expenses increased by 12.7% to to 186 million pesos compared with the third quarter of last year. This line item may include fees charged by third parties to Banco Compartamos as fees related to the operation of YASA. Trading gains, which represent FX gains at the Intermex branches, stood at 2 million pesos during the quarter. Other operating income and losses represented an income of 83 million pesos. This line item reflected a non-recurring income for the third quarter that was mainly driven by a reversal in provision in Banco Compartamos. Operating expenses reached 2.6 billion pesos, a 33% increase versus last year. Increasing expenses are in line with the growing number of service offices, which grew by 19%, the growth in employees in Peru, and the integration of Intermex employees into Gentera, as well as the strategic project that we have started. It is important to mention that the salaries and benefits represented 60% of the operating expenses, service offices and infrastructure for the group represented 17% of these line items, and the strategic projects such as SAP, handheld devices, deposit pilot projects, and YASA represented 528 million pesos or 20% of their operating expenses during this quarter. Marketing campaigns represented additional 85 million pesos or 3% growth or 3% representation of these line items. As Enrique Mayos already mentioned, Compartamos Benefits is the new campaign that replaces the loyalty program campaign that was active at Banco Compartamos during the first half of the year. The new campaign represented 38 million pesos of the operating expense line. For the third quarter, net income was 882 million pesos, a 29% increase compared with the recurring net income of 675 million achieved in the third quarter of 2013. Thank you for your attention. We can now move to the Q&A session of the call.
Thank you. At this time, we will open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touchtone phones now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, just press star 2. Again, to ask a question, please press star 1 now. And our first question comes from Carlos Macedo from Goldman Sachs.
Thanks. Good morning, gentlemen. Congratulations on the anniversary and on the strong results for the quarter. A couple of questions. First, on loan growth, you were talking about going to a new cycle for growth instead of control expansion. What can we expect? You're at 17% now. Is going into the 20s in 2016 something that's reasonable to expect? And if so, will it be more individual products or will you go substantially above 6% year-on-year growth in the women and group lending, Credito Mujer, which is kind of where we are now? Second question, if you allow me, on expenses, the strategic projects, I think Patricio just mentioned, 528 million in the third quarter. What is the outlook for this? Is this going to stay at this level? Is this an outlook that this could decline going into next year? What should we expect in terms of the strategic projects going out? Thanks.
Thank you, Carlos. Yes, as we mentioned, we feel comfortable with the growth we are having now because it is in line with what we expected in our guidance. We believe we will finish the year with the growth we promised. And we also feel, and we have talked about this before, that the coming year in the group lending methodology is going to be pretty stable with the same rate of growth that we have. Obviously, we will give a guide at the beginning of next year, but we believe that the business is growing as a piece as we expected and we have been communicating.
In terms of the expenses and the strategic projects, Carlos, as Carlos mentioned, we will continue to move towards a multi-product, multi-country company. We need to evolve the business methodology toward digital, and all those factors require further expanding, right, and further investment, thinking in the long run of the company. So, again, what we want to achieve is, again, to maintain this mid-60s range, again, for the coming year, and within that range of expenses, maintaining the investments that are needed for the long run of the company.
Okay, just going back on the growth question, just if you allow me, I understand that you're not giving out guidance, but in prior cycles, loan growth did accelerate past, you know, the 20% threshold. Is this something that we should, do you look at prior cycles to kind of look out for this one as you look into 2016, or is this something completely different because competition isn't quite as intense as it was? I mean, is there a specific way that we should think about this cycle?
Sure. It is important to understand also that for the second half of the year, we always have typically a more accelerated growth. But despite of this, Carlos, yes, we can tell you that maybe for the coming years we will have between 15 and maybe 18% growth.
Okay, that's great. Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Fred DeMaris from UBS.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. A couple of questions on my side. The first one on margins. We saw that there was some volatility in the loyalty programs as you had guided for and anticipated in the previous quarter. So obviously we were aware of the discretionary nature of the loyalty programs. My question is to know how do you see those expenses going forward in the next quarters, and if we should expect a similar pattern of seasonality, meaning, you know, the first half of next year should be higher and then the second half could be lower. And linking to this, in terms of margins, there was a sharp rebound in the net interest margins. Should we see that the current level is probably a stable level going forward? That's my first question. The second question is on the deposits. They grew quite strongly year over year, and if I'm not mistaken, they represent 7% of funding. So how do you see the growth going forward in that line? Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, thank you, Fred. And before letting Patricio explain a little bit further around the margins, let me tell you that and remind you all that when we talked about our marketing campaign at the beginning of this year, we explained that the higher amount was going to be disbursed during the first semester, and we will have, just to make it up and running very fast and with the dynamic that it was projected. And for the second half of the year, we were going to experience a slowdown in that expense. So we are following this path, and that's why we believe that maybe 90% of the expense of this year is already done. And maybe Patricio can explain a little bit more around the margin.
Yes, and Fred, the way the loyalty program was structured, basically, the 500 plus million pesos that we spent on the first semester of this year actually was a reduction in interest income, given the fact that we were giving away to customers such amounts, right? Marketing efforts, marketing campaigns, and commercial projects are necessary to attract and retain customers going forward. The thing is that the way we structure now some marketing campaigns for the second half of the year are not reflected on the margin, but on the operating expenses. However, we need to invest and we need to be close to the customers with such efforts to retain them and to keep them loyal to Banco Compartamos in an every time more competitive market. So in terms of margins, what you saw this quarter is that, yes, given the fact that the loyalty program was only 20 million pesos for this quarter, the mean was increased dramatically because we were not hit as hard in that regard. However, we shifted from those type of benefits to some other that were registered on the operating expenses line. So, just in a nutshell, what we think is for the next quarter, you should expect a similar NIM, given the fact that the loyalty program is it's gone for the year. The cost of funds will remain low, and asset quality will remain well under control. And most of the operating expenses and strategic investments that we've made for this year have been already made. So next quarter, you should expect some moderate growth in operating expenses, and with such finalizing the year towards the mid-60s range that we guided for the year on the expenses side. And next year, you should expect again, no, we are the fastest growing product that we have in the portfolio will continue to be Crédito Comerciante, will continue to be the individual lending product, and those type of products have a strong margin. So I don't see a contraction in the NIM for 2016 because of pricing pressures.
Okay, that's very clear, thank you. But on the loyalty, should we expect an increase in the loyalty programs as well in the beginning of the year, or the third quarter level is pretty much where we should be going forward?
Yes, the loyalty program, actually, you should not expect anything on the margins because of the loyalty program. What you'll see is something in the operating expense. And yes, next year, again, we'll do commercial efforts that will be registered mostly on the operating expense. Again, all those efforts should be part of the operating expense or the efficiency in the mid-60s range that we expect for next year again.
Okay, that's right.
And on the deposit spread, Enrique mentioned, yes, we are moving along. However, from our own customers, we only have 60 million pesos still in the pilot. We have 190,000 customers with 60 million pesos of savings from these customers. The additional 550 million pesos is short-term bond issuances that we normally issue and are registered on the CD category for reporting purposes, and this is why you see the jump in deposits.
Got you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Ernesto Gabilondo from Bank of America Merrill Lynch.
Hi, good morning, Carlos, Enrique, and Patricio, and thanks for taking my call. I just have three questions. A follow-up in your loyalty program that is now Compartamos Benefits. Can you explain how this second strategy is better than the first one? Is it following the same conditions? Secondly, can you provide us what are your expectations in terms of cost of risk? In addition, what could we expect to be the sustainable level? And finally, I will appreciate if you can share any color on the outlook of net earnings for this and the next year. Many thanks.
Sure, Ernesto, thank you for your question. And let me tell you that talking about the loyalty program, fundamentally what we are doing is basically allowing our customers to have better conditions through if they have a better behavior, if we have better retention rates from them, and we have a better quality of the portfolio. So fundamentally, I can tell you that the loyalty program will remain like that. Despite of this, what we are making, the changes that we are making in the second half of the year and for the next year, is that we are finding ways to be much more efficient in the expenses we have to make to have this program up and running. So what we can expect for next year, as Patricio was explaining before, is an expense more likely similar to what we have been experiencing this second half of the year, And yes, the efficiency of this program is improving due to our experience in this first half of the year.
And let me jump also to follow up on that. Most of the results also that we are seeing, good asset quality, customer retention, and some of the good indicators that we have in the third quarter are part of the benefits that we as a company have had because of the loyalty program. So it's not a surprise to anybody here that the results on the operating trends that we have put in front of you are consequence of such efforts. So this is why, as Enrique mentioned, we really believe that these kind of efforts, in maybe in a more efficient manner and so forth, are necessary for the long run of the commercial approach to customers. And let me jump into the second question. You were talking about the cost of risk. I mean, we have guided an 8% approximately cost of risk for the company. We believe, I mean, the trends that we are seeing in the short-term vintages of our asset quality is that we can still maintain an 8.5% cost of risk for the coming year. In terms of net earnings for this year, the guidance that we provided is 1.87 EPS to 1.92 EPS, and we're sticking to it, right? We haven't guided anything for next year, but as Enrique mentioned already, a double-digit growth in terms of portfolio, similar to what you are seeing this year, it's something that we still believe is achievable.
Great, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Tito Labarta from Deutsche Bank.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for the call. A couple questions. Also, I guess just following up a little bit on your guidance, you are on track to deliver on the EPS number that you've given. But in terms of, I guess, the fourth quarter, I mean, unless you have a big slowdown, you could probably even surpass your guidance this year. You mentioned second half tends to be seasonally stronger. So, I mean, do you think fourth quarter can be somewhat similar to the third quarter and at least end at the high end of your guidance and maybe some upside risk there if things turn out well? And then I guess also in the back of that, in terms of profitability, you had almost a 29% ROE. And I think you had some reversals of provisions also in this quarter. So would you say sustainable ROE goes back closer to the 25% level, or do you think the level we saw this quarter you can sustain, or at least even for the next couple of quarters? Thank you.
Thank you, Tito. Just before getting into the EPS and the provisions, let me just talk about what we expect for the fourth quarter. And I could define the third quarter as expected. So, and I want to be very emphatic on this because we believe that, and we have said that after a controlling phase comes a growing phase, and we have also said that in the second half of the year, we have a more dynamic business and growth is higher. So I would like to just point out that the fourth quarter is going to be also as expected. I don't know if we're going to be up, but we feel comfortable that we will deliver what we promised. And we have to see this third quarter as a quarter that was expected with the conditions and the strategies that we have been placing in.
And if there's an upside, I mean, we couldn't tell right now. Yes, we expect a good quarter as every year, but as you know, the demand for November, December, it's always something that we need to work and we are working on. But this is why we, as always do, are speaking to the guidance, both in portfolio and EPS for this year. And again, no, we haven't guided anything for next year, simply give you indications as we normally do in January. You should expect our formal guidance as we typically do for this year. And in terms of ROE, so what we think that it's sustainable, yes, we might have good and bad quarters, but what we think is sustainable is still the mid-20s range that we talked about and that we guided, right? Again, profitability and expenses, as we have always mentioned, are not linear throughout the year. So previous quarter, into the second quarter of this year, we were below this mid-20s ROE. Today we are above, and we expect to finalize the year with this range. Next year, you should expect something similar.
Great, thanks. That's very helpful. I mean, just one quick follow-up on the other operating income. It was about 83 million pesos this quarter. You mentioned there was some provision reversals. Can you quantify, like, how much of that was provision reversals? Like, was that all non-recurring, or if you can maybe just give some color on that line going forward?
No, it was a non-recurring item. It was 60 million pesos. In Mexico, in the bank, I mean, as you know, we normally need to provision principal, interest, and taxes as the customers get late payments, right? So as more late payments they have, you provision every time more, right? The thing is that in the past, the taxes and interest, we provisioned those amounts 100% since the very first day, and this was not adequate. You should gradually make the provision level. So to be in line, the provisioning for principal, interest, and taxes for the entire portfolio, we thought that it was better to release this excess provisioning, and again, it should not be expected for the coming quarters.
Perfect, thanks. That's very helpful.
Thank you, Tito.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Catalina Araya from JP Morgan.
Hi, thank you, and congratulations on the results. Just I have two questions. First, more of a strategy one. Can you give us an update on the deposit pilot program and the potential integration with Intermex? How do you see Intermex contributing to earnings and fees in the following years as you integrate the branches more with the business, just as an Aterna? And then my second question, just following up on asset quality, we saw significant impact or increase in NPLs in Peru, and although you mentioned that in September this has improved a bit, I just want to get a sense if this is a result of competition or mainly deteriorating macro conditions. Thank you.
Sure, Catalina. Thank you. Very interesting question. Let me tell you a little bit more about Intermex and the synergies that we believe we are going to get from this new company in the group. Basically, what we saw in Intermex when we decided to buy it was that it could provide us basically two things. First of all, a product that is really a basic demand from our customers. We believe that customers in our segment have a very clear need of the remittances services. And secondly, we also saw that Intermex had some very interesting and developed capacities around providing transactions in their branches and handling cash. That is, it was something that we didn't have here in Compartamos. So these two things are going to make very good synergies and are really needed for developing the savings business, because the saving business, it is not only about the product, but it is also about convenience for the customer and delivering the customer transaction channels that are really close to them. So I can tell you that that's what we are working on. We are working on to put in place and to make real these two synergies, and that's what we are going to keep on working in our strategy for the future in terms of Intermex and Banco Compartamos.
Do you have any estimates on how much this can contribute to the bottom line?
We are still working on the operation side. We believe it's going to be relevant, not mainly because the business that remittances will provide us, but because of the synergies that we will get
within the credit and the savings business. I cannot give you yet a specific number there, but we can assume that it will be relevant, because without it, we couldn't develop this strategy. Let me go to the Peru question. As we all know, it has been a slowdown in the economy in Peru, but we also believe that the fundamentals of the economy in Peru are strong. So we have to take into account these two things. And the problem we also know that is basically the price and the commodities. In our business, and if we remember that we serve people that is in the low segment of society, and the businesses that they run are related with commerce and production of very basic goods. This is an environment, a business environment, that it is much more stable than the whole economy. So we believe that the impact will come maybe in the high end, in the 10% high end of our customers, because they run bigger micro enterprises. But at the end, we believe that if we keep on very close to the fundamentals of the business, the microcredit business, we will have a healthy portfolio, and we believe there is space for growth. So our projections for this year and our expectation for next year in Peru is not having an important change.
Great, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Boris Molina from Santander.
Yes, thank you. I have a question regarding your expenditures budget, and how can we estimate, you know, how much you're currently spending and what's going to happen in the future. We noticed that there is a significant part of your investment that is sticking, is being deferred as intangible assets on your balance sheet. And we'd like to get an idea of, you know, whether this intangibles are deferred charge in excess of 1 billion pesos this year, you know, and whether you expect your capital budget for the coming years to be in this order of magnitude going forward. And we mentioned this because obviously these expenses are not going through a P&L, and if they were, obviously the results would be much different. Your tangible equity has declined around 6% in the last two quarters. So we'd like to get an idea of, you know, how should we think about these in deferred assets going forward, or whether we continue to grow at this pace.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Boris. In terms of the CapEx and the jump that you see in the intangible assets, yes, most of them are investments that we've made in SAP, as you all know already. And most of them are amortized towards a 10-year period, right? All those investments should, the depreciation of these intangible assets should be expected for the next 10 years, as I said, and all these expenditures should again put pressure in the efficiency ratio, and we will be able to keep the efficiency ratio in the mid 60s range despite such investments. Again, the reason why we have a more diversified portfolio into comerciante, into individual, and some other products is basically because we already have such platform to develop the product faster that have enabled us to increase the portfolio, to increase income, and as such, making less relevant the investments that we've made in technology mostly. So I don't know whether this answered your question, but again, as I mentioned before, the thing is that we need to continuously invest not such large amounts of money. You know, as you know, we changed 100% of the core banking system in last years. We are implementing the ERP. I mean, we implemented also the IT platform for savings. So there are many things that are going on, but that require for these multi-product
multi-country strategy that we have ambition for the long run of the company.
So would you say that you consider the current level of intangible asset creation or investment in intangible assets as a recurrent, or do you think that this year was a big...
Uh-huh.
Basically, we think that the current level of this year is probably twice as it was, you know, in last year. And, you know, is this something like there's a recurrent level of investment in these type of... or is it something that already passed the peak and then next year is going to... The rate of intangible asset addition is going to decline?
No, the thing is that, yes, I mean, as we were talking about, if you go to the IT infrastructure that we have, we already have the core banking, the pilot, JustApp, we already have the ERP and the intangible assets. So I would say that all of those are the investments that we require to have a full group of companies fully integrated that will be enabled to develop different products in the long run. So the intangible asset creation going forward should be much more moderate than what you have seen in the last couple of years.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Patricia.
Thank you, Boris.
Thank you. Again, if anyone would like to ask a question, please press *1 on your touch-tone phones now. Again, that is *1 to ask a question. Our next question comes from Carlos Gomez from HSBC.
Hi, good morning. I have two questions more on the strategy side. You mentioned earlier that you aspire to reach 10 million clients. That's obviously a very ambitious number, but after all, ambition is what has brought Gentera what it is today. Where do you expect those clients to be? You mentioned geographical diversity, but how big do you expect Mexico will be in that long-term scenario? You want to be in several countries. How big will your home country still be? Second, until now, your acquisitions have been relatively small, have not made a large impact on your equity or your tangible equity. Are you willing to deviate and grow bigger inorganically in the coming years to achieve that long-term goal? Thank you very much.
So, thank you, Carlos. And we're aspiring to serve 10 million customers in about 10 years. So that is, we will multiply by 3x and a bit more than that in the next 10 years. And we believe that that's fully achievable, not only concentrating on what we've concentrated traditionally, which is working capital, but really, as I mentioned, by building a product offering that tends to different life cycles of clients. So that includes savings and that includes payment transactions as well as insurance and other types of lending. So in the process of becoming a multi-product, multi-country company, those 10 million clients will have a more diversified set of products that makes that's in a way more tailored to their needs and different life cycles. Mexico will surely be a core part of that. We believe that when we reach 10 million clients, it's hard to estimate what percentage of clients will be Mexico, but clearly it'll be, you know, half or more than half of those clients will still be in Mexico. That requires us to grow into other countries as well. As we've mentioned, the Americas is in Latin America, you know, continuing a road towards Central America as well as other countries in South America, something that we're always actively looking at. We believe that could become a reality by a combination of both organic growth as well as acquisition. This is a very, green market, if you will, so opportunities for acquisition in Latin America are far and in between. But again, we're always looking for different opportunities. And the other issue that comes into play for these 10 million clients is that in 10 years, for sure, what you will see is that the way that we deliver our products and services will be much different from what we do today. The emerging technologies in the digital world, I think, as I mentioned, offer great opportunities to reach further, cheaper, and to offer products in a way that we haven't in the past. So we still need to innovate and to reinvent and to design exactly what that means in the future. But we believe that even base of the pyramid clients will become fully digitized in the next 10 years, and we are planning to leverage our operations on that. So clearly an exciting future, and still, I mean, we will be concentrated in Mexico in many ways, but growing into the region as well.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Again, if anyone would like to ask a question, please press star 1 now. Again, that is star 1 if you would like to ask a question. At this time, I'm showing no further questions. I'd like to turn the call back over to Gentera's management for closing remarks.
Thank you, Josh. And again, thank you, everyone, for connecting in today's conference call. One last comment is to reinforce that we're very grateful for all the support and all of the people that have made this possible, specifically the investor community that has believed in Gentera for so long, and we look forward to the next 25 years. We look forward to a very strong end of year and a very promising future. So thank you very much and good day.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's teleconference. You may now disconnect.